All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Been a little while since I posted a review. Been crazy busy, had the holidays, had the New Mexico hunt, launched Forge in the Backcountry, which we'll get into in a minute. Tons of stuff going on, but we're gonna dive back in with a kind of quick and dirty review. I've been sitting on a few reviews that they're not really like the super in-depth category-wide stuff that I've become known for, but I think they're still super practical. They're based on all the field experience that I had last year, and I just kind of want to clean house, get them all out, and start 2024 with a fresh slate. Now, this first review is more of a public service announcement than a review. I know not everybody sticks around for the whole review. So if you're only gonna listen to 30 seconds of this review, this is the 30 seconds I would listen to. The Slick 734 is unequivocally the worst tripod I have ever used on a hunting trip in my life. Now, I am gonna go through some categories, specifically price, weight, materials, load capacity, height, packability, leg locks, and vibration. And I will break down what I like and what I don't like. But it is pretty rare that I can say with full and complete confidence, I don't see a spot for this tool in your hunting tool chest. I just don't. And I'm gonna get into exactly why. This tripod clocks in at 310 USD. You can see it kind of higher, kind of lower, depending on the site, if it's on sale. It is an extremely well-priced tripod for the specs that it offers, being that you can stand while you glass it, it will hold a moderate amount of weight, it's much beefier than the Slick 634. Before I dive into that, I should probably make a note about the nomenclature or the naming convention that Slick adopts. So the first digit usually refers to the weight-bearing capacity. So if we were to take the 634, the 734, and the 834, each one of those would get progressively more capable of carrying weight. So the 734 carries more weight than the 634, and the 834 carries more weight than the 734. Now the last number has to do with the amount of legs. So because this is a 734, it has 1, 2, 3, 4 leg portions, which means it can get smaller. So the 733 would only have 3 leg portions, not 4. So when it compresses, because they go to the same height, it ends up being longer. Now there are pros and cons to each. But when we look, for example, at comparing the 634 against the 734, these are very similar in many ways, being that they go to pretty much the same height and they have the same number of leg portions. However, the 734 should be more stable. It has a greater diameter of leg, and overall just a beefier construction. It also weighs significantly more than the 634. What really made the 634 so popular is it is essentially a 2-pound backcountry tripod that you could stand with. Now, the reason I put that in quotations is that in my experience, as soon as you get up to like, you know, a 15 power bino or even a 12 power or an 85 or 95 spotter, because the 634 has such slender legs, there's so much vibration. It's like, yes, the tripod will go up to that height, but do I believe it's actually practical to glass with it at that height? No, I do not. However, for a lightweight, versatile backcountry tripod at that price point, the 634 is a fantastic option. So I thought when I was going to New Mexico, I'll bring the 734. I've used it in the studio for almost a year. Time to take it out into the backcountry. Because I know I'm going to be doing a lot of road hunting, I want something that I can put my spotter and my 15s on and glass in the wind on the roadside. So that's why I took the 734. So to have a tripod that can carry this weight at this height and still come in at 310 USD is a really large value. So that's what makes this tripod so attractive and why I thought it could really fill a great spot in the market. However, that's not the case. So moving on to weight. Now, the advertised weight is 3 pounds bang on, When I weighed it, it was 2 pounds, 15 ounces. Normally I go through and take off like excess rubber rings and stuff, which is probably the extra ounce. I think there was actually a rubber collar around this portion here that I actually took off. So that's probably why it's an ounce less. But again, for a tripod of this height, coming in at 3 pounds is a pretty reasonable weight. Now, if we go to materials, it's an 8-layer carbon fiber construction. I don't have a whole lot of details. This tripod has been on the market for several years, and at that price point, I would assume it's pretty low-grade carbon fiber construction. If you look at some of the newer tripods, like the Tricer, and I know people think I don't like it because the legs spin backwards, I think it's a good tripod, and I think it's there's some really great elements of that tripod, and the quality of the carbon fiber construction is one of them. Also, the Asiac. These I would call like next generation carbon fiber construction. I think the material is much higher quality than in the Slick. But other than that, it's basically, you know, we have some rubber components with the feet and the spin locks, some aluminum in the middle, and then these metal feet locks. So pretty standard materials overall. Now this is rated to carry 11 pounds, which could basically carry anything that you would need it to as a hunter. Any optic, most rifles, most hunters aren't gonna hunt with rifles over 11 pounds. Those, you know, really focused long range guys are gonna go above that. However, I always say what's more important than your tripod carrying capacity is your tripod head carrying capacity. Because if you're using a very minimalist head, it's not gonna be able to support pan and tilt functions for a 95 spotter, no matter what the tripod carries. So I like to go to whichever of those numbers is smaller. It's like the weakest link in the chain is what your system will default to. So I look at the carrying capacity of the tripod as almost its vibration dampening capabilities. The higher that number, the greater it will reduce vibration, typically from wind. However, it's gonna be limited to whatever your tripod head carrying capacity is. Next, we move on to height. It has a 65 inch max height and a 7 inch min height, which is quite versatile. And one of the things I like about this tripod is that you can actually disconnect, you can unscrew the center post right here. And so a lot of the newer tripods are starting to come with two center posts, which I find a little bit annoying because for filming and picture taking of trophy shots, there are times when I want to bring the tripod right to the ground. Also for glassing, when you are coming up to a ridge and you kind of want to just glass over the ridge, being able to put your tripod flat out and lay on your belly and kind of just glass over can be very helpful. But I'm not gonna carry two center posts with me on every single hunt. One of the factors that I like about this tripod is that it has both the short and the long center post at your disposal. You just unscrew it and then you've got access to bring it right down to a 7-inch height. So that is a mark in its favor. As far as packability goes, I would call this a moderately packable tripod. It takes up about the same amount of room as my 95 spotter would. It is not something that I would advise carrying in the backcountry. However, when you're day hunting from the truck, I think carrying something around like this in your backpack is completely doable. So it does actually pack up quite nicely, given, you know, the beefier construction and the fact that it is meant for slightly heavier load carrying capacities. Next, we'll move on to vibration. I was not overly impressed with this tripod. Now, I did really put it through the ringer in New Mexico. It was crazy windy. Like I'm talking 40 to 60 miles per hour every single day. It was brutal. Hopefully that film will drop in the next couple weeks. I'm busting my ass to get as much content out as I can right now. There's just a lot going on, but it was easily the windiest hunt I've ever been on. I could not do anything other than sit and glass, and even that was challenging. The best I could do was sit with my back against the tire of the truck and bring the tripod right in against me, and then I could glass using my 95. The moment I tried to stand, the wind was just too brutal. I don't want to put that all on this tripod. I don't think there's many tripods that would have really been able to fight that wind. But even on the days or the parts of the days that were a little bit less windy, I didn't really think that the 734 outperformed the 634 by such a margin that would necessitate an extra pound. Or maybe a better way to say that is if the tripod was 33% heavier, I think it's not unreasonable to expect something around that same 33% reduction in overall vibration. I personally didn't see that. Finally, the legs locks. Now here is where everything kind of falls apart. And when I talk about leg locks, I'm actually going to talk about two different locking mechanisms on this tripod. The first one are these locks here that stop your angle. So if you open these, you can bring your tripod leg all the way out. And as you close it, it just comes in at varying different angles. So that's lock number one. Lock number two are these spin locks that control the extension and retention of your legs. Now, let's start up here. These don't have any spring mechanism. So all the time I would take this out of my bag, I would go like this, and one of these would have been like just open from the bag and it comes and you're like, oh my God. So you gotta put it back in, you gotta shove this back in. I don't understand why a component like this isn't spring loaded. For starters, even when I wanna get to the next level of angle adjustment, I should be able to pull it out, lift it up just a tiny bit, and the spring should suck it back in, and then I can come up to the next one, but it doesn't do that. And so, very finicky all the time. These would pop open on me. They are just really unreliable. Now, did it create a mission critical failure? No, it did not. All it ended up being was a pain in my ass. But these are the areas where companies for me really separate themselves. Ultimately, the way you interact with a product and the experience that you have using that product dictates your feeling of satisfaction about that product. So ultimately, an annoyance, but not a mission critical failure. Now, let's get to the mission critical failure. So slowly, almost every single, so that one comes out okay, that one comes out okay, and here's, so I'm a big dude, 6'1", 240, probably 245 right now. We've been going pretty hard on the desserts lately. And what happens slowly over the week, more and more of the legs started experiencing this same thing. So I would be able to bring these ones in, but to get, now, and that's just one. I could keep going. This one is actually significantly worse. And it would get to a point where I wouldn't even be able, it's gotten a little bit better since I got home, but I wouldn't even be able to get these in and out. I was actually, when they were fully extended, that one comes out okay, this one here. When they were fully extended, oh God, see, there you go. Brutal. When they were fully extended, at some points, the only way I was able to get them back in the ground was literally smashing it down on the ground to shove this back up in here. Also, I have seen at least three of these slick locking mechanisms completely fail in the field for a variety of reasons. So that is one of the reasons why I, like, that to me starts to become a mission critical failure, because if I can't open and close the legs of my tripod reliably, that becomes a significant issue. Now, there are a few more elements of this tripod I still have to discuss, but before we get into my final thoughts, I gotta take a quick break for a word from our sponsor, who happens to be me. So you can see behind me these two logos. One is the Mindful Hunter logo, which is also the Mindful Reviews, and this one is new, Forged in the Backcountry. So if you like these reviews, you want to support what I do, you want to participate in raffles and win prizes on a monthly basis, mindful-reviews.com. I'm going to be releasing my Prime RVX 34 review in 2 weeks, and I will be raffling off that bow. There will be a very limited number of tickets because I'm reviewing a lot of bows this year, and I'm just looking to break even on the bows, and I want to move them quick. So most likely, those will sell out to members before it even becomes available to non-members. So if you're interested in that, I would recommend joining up. Mindful-reviews.com. Unbiased, not sponsored, now and forever. Now, the second part, Forged in the Backcountry. So I'm wearing it here. I recently launched a lifestyle apparel brand for backcountry hunters. The idea was clothing that is a little higher quality, is a little more stylish. It's not just cheesy influencer merch, and it's not cheap logo wear from brands. I wanted something that had a little bit more heart to it and a little bit more substance. So if you go to forgedinthebackcountry.com, you can see all the available products online right now. Now, here's why you should care. What I am doing is giving away a guided bear hunt in British Columbia. So for every $5 you spend, you get one entry to win a guided bear hunt. Now here's the thing, it's not just a guided bear hunt. I'm gonna go with you, I'm gonna be hunting as well. I will not take out my weapon until you have found and killed the bear that you're looking for. The point is not for me to actually hunt. The point is for me to be there because I'm also gonna film the entire hunt. And it's gonna go up on the Mindful Hunter YouTube channel. So you're gonna win a hunt. All you have to do is get yourself to and from Prince George and pay for any taxidermy that you want done. Everything other than that is taken care of. The hunt cost is taken care of. The tip is taken care of. Getting yourself to and from the lodge, I will pick you up and take you back. All your food, accommodations, everything during the hunt, all taken care of. So literally the only thing you need is travel to Prince George and from Prince George. And if you wanna get some taxidermy done, we can hook it up for you in Canada and get it shipped down. If you live in Canada, that's even easier. Or we can process the cape and you can take it home with you and do whatever it is you want to do at home with it. So every $5 gets you one entry to win. So you spend $50, you get 10 entries. The hunt is scheduled for June 19th to 26th this year. I'm going to draw the winner on April 16th. So I think there's about 43 or 44 days left to buy apparel that will qualify for the giveaway hunt. Now, if you can't make it this year and you get drawn, you still win a hunt. I'm going to be doing this every year. So you will simply go to next year. We will find a week that works for you. I will book the hunt for both of us and we will do it next year. Then what I'll do is I'll just go back to the drawing pool and I'll just keep looking for somebody until I find somebody who gets drawn who is available this year. Obviously, only that first person that gets drawn will be deferred until the next year. What I might do is actually email everybody who qualified and say, email me back if you're available. And then out of that self-qualified pool, pick a winner to come this year. So no matter what, if you get drawn, you're gonna win a hunt. So mindful-reviews.com, forgedinthebackcountry.com. If you wanna support what I try and do with this channel, feel free. If you just want to consume the content for free, also no problem. Okay, let's get back to the review. So a couple things here that I should mention that are kind of neat. You can actually detach this portion here and you have the two kind of most common thread patterns and you can swap back and forth between the two. I actually think that is pretty cool. You can also remove this whole center post, flip it around and put it in backwards. So you technically can mount your tripod pan head in the inverted position between the leg. And as I mentioned earlier, there are threads right here and you can actually remove this lower section of the pole. Now, back to some more stuff that does not work for me. So there are two locking mechanisms that control the height of this center post. Obviously, this is one here, This is the second one here, which controls the up and down. Now, this is another thing that I'm not a very big fan of. This rubber piece tends to kind of slip around, and where they have it in here, it's just kind of a pain to grab. And so I'm not a big fan of this. And what I don't understand, to be honest with you, I just left this open and I used this because I have found it's more than capable of stopping, you know, any type of rotation or vertical movement. And then it was easier to just move this. This thing here, also, when you completely unthread this, it is a nightmare to try and get the thing threaded back in. And so if I was going to kind of reiterate in a more condensed fashion the parts of this tripod that do not work for me, the non-spring-loaded, kind of very sloppy angle locks, the barely functional spin locks for the leg extensions, the kind of on post, center post extension lock, I think that's about it. But I will say that having used this thing for the 10 straight days I was in New Mexico, it is, hands down, the worst tripod I've ever used on a hunt. So yeah, cannot recommend it. I would say, if you want my recommendation, if you're not gonna buy this, what do I think you should buy? If you got a little bit more money, the Outdoorsman's Gen 1 Aluminum Tall is one of my favorite tripods I have ever used. It is also 3 pounds. People have this like misbegotten notion that carbon fiber is always lighter. This carbon fiber 65 inch tripod is 3 pounds. The Outdoorsman's Tall, which is almost the same height, is also only 3 pounds. The aluminum legs vibrate significantly less than the carbon fiber legs. The locking mechanisms on the Outdoorsman's tripod are my favorite locking mechanisms. They're snap locks, they're not twist locks. So they're like field repairable, they're field tightenable. You can adjust how much tension they have in the field with very simple tools. So yeah, if you have a couple more bucks, you know, maybe an extra 150, 200 bucks, Outdoorsman's Tall, excellent choice. Otherwise, I would say the Slix 634 is actually cheaper than this. Now, I've used that 634 a lot. I've used it in desert circumstances, just like this one. I've used it in windy circumstances, just like this one. And its leg locks, the angle locks are not as sloppy, and the leg extension spin locks, for some reason, don't seem to suffer the same vulnerabilities. Now, maybe it has to do with the diameter of the legs or the way these are constructed. Like, maybe because they're a more robust construction, there's a tighter fit and a tighter tolerance between the spin locks and the legs. I don't know. What I do know is that I used the 634, I don't know, maybe 100 days, you know, 2 years ago, and it worked great. Not the most stable thing when you take it out to full extension, but super light, definitely works for seated or crouching situations. Lots of, you know, variability and versatility in that tripod, but probably not the best option if you're going to be using big glass and standing up and there's any type of wind. AZAC is about to release their Front Country tripod. My gut says that is going to be a fantastic option, just going off of the construction quality and how much I like the Backcountry Light tripod. And I'll throw out a recommendation for Tricer here. I almost think when I reviewed the Tricer BC, I should have reviewed the Tricer AD instead, because he's really hit a niche that, as we can see from the performance of the 734, no one else has really knocked out of the park. Now, AZAC is coming into that same space, but Tricer's already been there for a year at least. And I do think it is an option that has a bit more differentiation than the BC, because it is a taller tripod. And I do think when you get to that taller height, the larger diameter of his legs, I still don't think having the bigger ones on the bottom with the laws of physics actually produces a sturdier tripod, but I will agree that having legs with a greater diameter in general should theoretically reduce vibration. So I think that standing Tricer AD, I would recommend that all day over this one. Again, it's a little bit more money than this, but I think all four of those options I just mentioned, the Outdoorsman's Tall, the yet-to-be-released Asiac Front Country, the Slick 634, and the Tricer AD, all of those, in my opinion, would be superior to the 734. All right, that probably wasn't as quick or short as I meant it to be, but what are you gonna do? I start talking gear and I kind of lose it. I'm gonna try and bang out as many of these as I can over the next few weeks just to get you guys up to speed with the results I had on these kind of like individual pieces of gear that don't really fit into an overall category-wide review so we can clean house and start 2024 fresh. One last quick reminder. If you could engage in the content in any way, shape, or form, like, comment, share, subscribe, greatly appreciated. You want to join Mindful Reviews? Mindful-reviews.com. You want to get entered to win a bear hunt? ForgedInTheBackCountry.com. As always, thank you for tuning in.